Hey, thank you for having me here this morning, and man, I'm excited about what God's doing here at Gateway. I'm Guy Stevens. I'm the church launch director for Cleveland Hope, and also I work with an organization called NEO 360, which affiliates itself with Vision 360, which is a national organization that has one purpose, and that is to be a catalyst for a city-reaching movement in North America and the world for Jesus. And so I'm really excited and really pumped about being here. So thank you. My wife here, Donna, just wave a little bit. Say hi to everybody. That's my wife. We've been married for 17 years. And, well, we'll be celebrating our 17th year in August. So that's my daughter right there. Wave, hon. Say hi, everybody. That's Kaylee. And I have four more that are in the back there because I think my kids get bored when I speak, so they like to run back there. So I want to tell you a little bit about myself first, and then we'll just kind of move forward in the text. We're going to be in Nehemiah, so if you have your Bibles there, you can maybe be finding that as I talk. Our journey actually started out in Oklahoma City many years ago. I'd graduated from college and was in the business community for close to 10 years. Got a couple of degrees out in Oklahoma City and was on a mission to be an executive, a president of a CEO and CEO of a company. And matter of fact, when I hired on after college, they said, where would you see yourself in 15 years? And I said, well, the human resource guy said, I'll be your boss. I'm going to be the president of this company one day. And I was on mission there. And I didn't really know anything about God. Didn't know a lot about God. I'm from Oklahoma City. So, you know, Jesus was certainly, that's kind of like the buckle of the Bible belt. And so I didn't really have a churched family, didn't grow up in a churched home for the most part. My grandmother was a believer, but I really didn't want to connect with the church that she went to. And so it wasn't until later in my life that I come to follow Christ. And I remember one day I was sitting at the kitchen table one morning, and just through some circumstances, some things were going on. I was really searching. I mean, I knew about God. I knew about Christ. I knew about the Bible, but I didn't want to have a relationship with Jesus. And I opened up the Bible to Deuteronomy 30:14, and there in about verse 11, God spoke to me through the Word. And He said, choose today. Choose life. Choose death. Choose blessing. Choose curse. And I realized for the very first time in my life that there was a living God that wanted a relationship with me. And it was amazing that He spoke to me through the illumination of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. It radically changed my life. And as I read down through there, my life verse is Deuteronomy 30:14, which says, the Word is around you, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart, now obey. And I knew at that point, that morning, that there was a living God. No one else existed in the universe as far as I was concerned. It was me and God, and He was asking me to put my faith and my trust in Jesus. Wow. And I like to say I was immediately obedient to that, but I wasn't. I sat at the table all day long. I mean, what else are you going to do? And I just thought about it, and I told my wife, I said, I think God's speaking to me. And she said, well, I'll answer Him. And so about 11 o'clock or 11:30 or so that night, from about 8 in the morning, I just sat and looked at the Bible. I knelt down and I said, Jesus, I'll follow You. I don't know what that means, but I'll follow You. And at that point in time, I gave my life to Christ. I repented of my sins. I placed my faith and my trust in Jesus. And my life has been different from that point on. My motivation changed, my direction changed, the purpose of my existence changed. No longer did I work for myself and my kingdom and my benefit. I saw something greater and bigger out there. Radically changed my life. I'd like to say that I had a heart right away for people and for cities, but I didn't. The more I studied the Word of God, the more I read the Word of God, the more desire that I had to be connected with Christ, I started to catch His passion for lost people, His passion for people that did not know Him, and His passion for city reaching. It wasn't mine. I caught it from Jesus. And so this morning, I'd like to just share with you a little bit about what we do and why we exist here in Northeast Ohio. We exist for one purpose, and that is to be a catalyst for a city-reaching movement in Northeast Ohio, North America, and the world for Jesus through Kingdom Advancing Church Planting. This is one of those churches. This church launched last year. Praise the Lord. I'm a good friend with Alex, and he works with us for one purpose, to be a catalyst in this city and beyond for Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to just read here very quickly and make some notes, and then I'll make a few comments, and I'll be done. in Nehemiah, I'm going to read here about seven verses here. It's lengthy, but guys, just follow along. It says, in late autumn, in the month of Kelsav, in the 20th year, I was at the fortress of Shushan, and Hananiah, one of my brethren, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah, and I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. And they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and distress, and the walls of Jerusalem have been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And when I heard these words, Nehemiah says, I sat down and I wept, and in fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. And then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of unfailing love with those who love Him and obey His commandments, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that I have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commandments, the decrees, and the regulations that you have given through your servant Moses. Please let what you have told your servant Moses, if you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commandments, you'll live. Wow. That's a pretty radical passage. Nehemiah had, he worked for the king. He was a cupbearer to the king. About 580 BC, God's people had been in Babylon. They were kind of coming out of Babylon. They'd been there for 70 years, coming out of captivity. They're going back to their homeland. And Nehemiah is kind of working over here with the king, never been to Jerusalem before. And he asks a question, how's everybody back at home? The other day, I was having lunch with a businessman, a pretty prominent businessman in Cleveland, and I was sharing a vision of how he and the business world could be a catalyst for a city-reaching movement in Northeast Ohio and beyond for Christ through Kingdom Advancing Church Planting. And he said that he served on a jury about a year and a half ago, and he was the foreman on the jury. And he said there was this young man in Cleveland who committed an armed robbery, had a firearm, and he was going to be sentenced to 7 years in prison. And this young man, he didn't feel should have to spend 7 years in prison. He had great compassion for this young man, but the jury voted, and he ended up spending 7 years and still there today in prison. He was having lunch with one of the judges, or the judge there that was on that particular case, and he asked the judge, he said, how's our city? And the judge said, listen, there is no hope for our city. There's no hope for our children. There's no hope for our families. There's no hope for the young men and women that live within our city. There's no hope for our government. There is no hope. And this is what the businessman said. He said, for the first time, I'm hearing a message of hope for our city. Nehemiah asked a similar question. How's our city? And his brother said, it is great distress, and the walls are torn down, and the gates have been burned. And Nehemiah said, and when it was that I heard these words, that I wept and I mourned and I prayed and I fasted for many days, and I cried out to the God of heaven, oh, you great and awesome God who keep your mercy and your love to those who obey you. Why the city? Why the city? Why is the city important? I'm going to give you three reasons, and then I'm going to bring us right back into the text and tie it up for you today. Number one, the city is a place of refuge. God created the city to be a place of refuge. Look here, if you want to, just flip over to Hebrews 11 and verse 10. The Bible says, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Did you know, guys, what started in the Garden of Eden will end in the city? The Bible says what started at the beginning in a garden will end in a city. The bride of Christ, the Lamb, is going to reach out and grab an urban center, a city. Revelation 21. God created the cities for a purpose. Number one, He created the city for a place of refuge. It is a place where the poor and the needy and the indifferent can come together. It is a place where people can come and have refuge within the city. And what happens so often is our cities, the very best and the very worst, are in our cities. And so we a lot of times move out of our cities. We run out of our cities, and we set up in villages, in suburbia areas around the city. And we don't want to come into the city. We don't want to be a part of the city because the city is a place of evil, and it's a place of people that are not like us, and they're poor people and hungry people and indifferent people. But God created the city, number one, to be a place of refuge. Wow. The city is designed to be a shadow under the wing of God, a place where we can come and minister and be ministered to, a place where we can love others and provide for others' needs. Number two, the city is a development center. It is a place where people from all over come together to be trained, to learn, and to connect with people who are not like us. The city. If we abandon our cities, we abandon the very presence of God and the will of God to protect those people within our city. How do we reach the city? How do we do that? I want to share that in just a second. The third thing about cities. The cities are a place where people are seeking. They're seeking something. About 300 AD, Paul, the city was mostly Christians. The urban centers of the world were mostly Christians. Paganists, the idea of paganists, or we get our pagan word, means countrymen. And the cities were the center of God's activity, the centers in which the gospel should move out into all of the into the countryside. And what happened is there's been a flip-flop. The believers and the Christians have moved outside of the city, and what is in the city is empty and void. And people who come into the city as a place of refuge, people who come into the city to be developed and to learn, they fill with heresy. They fill up with idols, and they fill up with wrong teaching. And God is calling us back into the city. He's calling our businessmen. He's calling our businesswomen. He's calling our clergy and our church leaders to focus back on the city. The city is important to God. The Bible says that the new city will one day exist, an urban center. Did you know God loves urban centers? God has a heart and a passion for the city. How does that happen? Well, when I read the Bible here, it says that the only agency in this world that has authority to impact and change the city is the Church of Jesus Christ, the Bride of Christ. And so when we come together as churches that have a heart and a passion for Jesus, then we must also catch a heart and a passion for our cities, for the great cities of America. I told you I affiliate with a national organization called Vision 360. Vision 360 is made up of about 20 of the most influential cities in America. And they have one purpose, and that is to plant churches in the cities and around the cities that have one focus, and that is to realize a city transformation. Why city transformation? Let me read this quote to you. Because of the power of the city, it is the chief target of the forces of darkness, because that which wins the city sets the course of human life, society, and culture. Wow, that's amazing. Listen, guys, when we can impact a city, we set the culture for all of the rural area around us, for all of the villages around us, for all of the suburbias around us. The city has the authority ordained by God to make the changes throughout all of a region. Cleveland, Akron, Youngstown, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Oklahoma City, San Diego. When something happens within the city, it allows the culture to change around it, and it can redefine human culture. The church has the authority to do that. Not a building, not pews, not a pastor. The church, the local body of Christ, that's you. And that's who I'm speaking to today. The church. Let's look back in the text. How does Gateway become a catalyst for a city-reaching movement? Number one, Gateway becomes a catalyst for a city-reaching movement when they have compassion for their city. Look here again in the text in verse 4. When I heard this, I sat down and I wept and I fasted. For days I mourned, I fasted, and I prayed to the God of heaven. You don't see compassion there. You don't see the word, but you understand the context of Nehemiah's heart when he heard his city was in great distress. Jesus, as he walked over the Mount of Olives, as he started to walk down into the eastern gate of the city, the same city that Nehemiah rebuilt, he looked over the city and he looked out on all the people, and the Bible says that he was overflowing with compassion, and he wept. He cried. The Gospels, Matthew chapter 9, says that it hit him so hard right here in his gut that it created a burden that made him kneel. That's how much compassion. Jesus looked at the city and he said, oh, how I want to gather you up like a hen gathers his chicks, but you would not listen. You would not understand the time of your visitation. And so it was that Jesus wept, that he wept for his people, that he cried out and he said, look, disciples, look at the city there. They are sheep without a shepherd. They are heavy laden. They are in captivity, and I have come into the city to free them of their burden of sin, and their burden of sins. And yet he walked through the gate into the city, and a very short time later he was crucified on the cross. You know, when we came over from New England, I remember seeing the city, and I remember seeing Cleveland, and I thought, God, you've called us to this city. This is a big city to try to reach through kingdom advancing church planting. And there was a time for about 2 weeks that I just felt a burden that God had put on me for the city of Cleveland. Not my burden, the burden of Christ. And I would pray for Cleveland, and I wept for Cleveland. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you've wept for your city, for your community, that you've looked out and you just felt a burden for your city? When's the last time that you just felt a burden for those that are around you that aren't seeking Christ? That you've wept, you've cried, and you've cried out to God and said, oh God, oh great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant to those who love you. I love you. I'm following you. Answer the prayers of us faithful. God, transform our city, transform our families, transform our lives. God, show up in my mom's life, in my parents' life, in my father's life. God, in our community. Nehemiah did. And he said, and when it was that I heard these words, I wept. I mourned. I fasted. I prayed. Jesus did. He looked over to that great city, Jerusalem, his city. God had given it to him. And he wept and he cried. Number two, if we look here in the text, we see that Gateway becomes a catalyst for a city-reaching movement. Number one, when they have compassion for their city. But number two, when they pray with passion to a holy God for their city. Look here in verse 5. We see Nehemiah, number one. He says, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, you who keep his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commandments, listen to my prayer, O God. He starts off, he praises God, he's comfortable with God, he can walk into the presence of God because he understands that through the blood of Jesus, he has the opportunity and the rare privilege that many have, that he can come right into to his Father's throne and he can speak to him boldly, and he says, listen to me, oh God, hear my prayer, you great and awesome God. I praise you, holy God, that created the heavens and the earth for us to have a personal relationship to you. I praise you, God. You are a holy God, a just God, a living God, a loving God. I praise you, oh God. And we see here also that not only does he praise the Lord God, but we see here that he takes a position before God. He says, listen to me. I stand before you and this great city, Jerusalem. And I intercede. I pray for this city. Oh God, the people in this city have sinned. The people in this city have done gross things, and including myself, oh God. I and my father's house have sinned. Please, God, forgive us. Please, God, show up in our city. Transform it. Only you can do that. He takes a position. Remember, Abraham took a position for a city, Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, he said, if there's not 50 righteous people in this city, oh God, would you not save it? If there's not 45 people in this city, oh God, would you not save it? God, if there's not 30 people in this city, would you not save the city for 30 righteous people? Oh God, please save our city of Cleveland and our cities in America. Would you not save our city if there's 100 righteous people following you? Would you not save our city if we come together in a network of churches that we have started that has one purpose, to be a catalyst for a city-reaching movement through kingdom-advancing church planting? Would you not save our city for that, oh God? And he perseveres in prayer. Listen to what he says here. He says, listen to my prayers. Look down and see me praying night and day. You know why God blessed Nehemiah and rebuilt the city? Because Nehemiah was serious. When he caught the idea and the heart of God, he prayed night and day. When he got in his car, when he got out of his car, or his carriage, or we know in the text his horse, he prayed. The very next thing we see later in the text is that he goes to the city and he travels around it at night and he prays over the city and he looks over the city and hears what God is doing and wants to do within the city. He perseveres. He knocks and knocks and knocks on that door of mercy until God opens it up and says, "Yes, you may go." He perseveres. And the last thing we see here in prayer, in verse 6, "I confess that we have sinned against you, O God. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned, and we have acted very corrupt." When was the last time we prayed a prayer like that? "Oh God, I am a sinner. Oh God, I have blown it. God, I don't know you, but I want to know you, God. I have sinned against you, O God. My family has sinned against you, O God. Please hear my prayer. God, I lay my heart open." I remember when I met God in the Bible, I laid my heart open and I said, "You know what, God? No matter what the cost, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the direction, no matter what the region, as best as I know my heart, God, and your will, I'll follow you." And I want you to know that's taken me all around this country, overseas. God can use an ordinary man, an ordinary woman, that's you, to do an extraordinary thing in the city. The last thing we see here, he persevered, but his heart was pure. He confessed his sins. He confessed that he was a sinner. Gateway becomes a catalyst for a city-reaching movement when they have compassion for their city. Number two, when they pray for their city. In the last text here, and I'm done. The last point. Gateway becomes a catalyst for a city-reaching movement when they're obedient to go into their city. Listen in verse 7. "We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commandments, the decrees, the regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses." God in Matthew chapter 28 tells us that we must go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey. And he says, "I'll be there with you until the end of the day." When we have a heart and a passion to go into our community, I know Gateway does. You guys helped clean up after the parade, like 2.45 tons of trash. I know that. You guys plant trees around the city. You have a heart to obey. You have a heart to go into the city. Praise the Lord for that. When we're obedient to God, he shows up and he does something radical, not only in our lives, but also in the lives of our city. NEO 360 exists for one purpose, to be a catalyst for a city-reaching movement. As we connect churches that have a similar vision together, then we, in that network, becomes a missionary for not only Cleveland, but for all the cities around the world and beyond. The 13th president of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, quoted this and said this, and I quote it: "The credit belongs to the one who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a war they cause, who at best knows the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daringly great, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Wow. Nehemiah was an ordinary man that did an extraordinary thing. He was not a priest. He was not a prophet. He was not a king. He was a man that caught a vision to reach a city. He had compassion. He prayed. And he was obedient to go. And God honored that and rebuilt the city that Jesus walked into a few days before he died. I want to challenge you this morning. If maybe your story is similar to mine, maybe you know a little bit about God, but you never really made it a point to surrender your life to Jesus, I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you just to understand that you can just place your faith in Christ. You can ask him to forgive you of your sin. You can look to him, and God will do a wonder in your life for all of eternity. And then he'll use you to be a catalyst for a city-reaching movement through kingdom-advancing church planting right here in this church, right here in Gateway. It may be that you know the Lord, you know him, but you haven't really caught the compassion for people in city yet. Pray about that. It may be that you have compassion for people, but you're just not being obedient. You're not going. There's other things in your life that seem to be far more important. If we reach Cleveland, we reach Northeast Ohio. And we'll reach Cleveland through Kingdom Advancing Church Planting. When you and other churches that we plant and that we start connect together in a network to be a catalyst for a city-reaching movement. In Northeast Ohio, North America, and the world for Jesus through Kingdom Advancing Church Planting. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you so much. We are so thankful that we can come into your presence today through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I mean, really, we're messed up. We have problems, and we have things in our life, and there's probably some here today that just can't hardly stand up under the weight of their life, their home, maybe some situations that's going on. And Lord, you tell us that if we come to you, you will relieve us of those burdens. And so Lord, I'd pray, God, if there's anyone here that has those burdens, that somehow, some way today, God, they just take care of some business with you. Lord, I'd pray that this church would continue to be a catalyst for a city-reaching movement. Lord, we're excited about how you're moving and working here in this church and the other churches that are starting up all over the city. And Lord, we'd ask, God, that you would honor yourself in our city. And God, that we would see a city transformation as your people come together with compassion for Cleveland. And they pray for Cleveland. And God, that we're obedient to go into Cleveland and our cities around this region. We love you, we praise you, and it's in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.